This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. With unemployment a nagging problem and disappointing growth in the job market, what is a job seeker to do? Where can you turn for help? Well, joining me now are Janice Urbanek, Executive Director of Partners for a Competitive Workforce, Andrea Milani, Director of the Pathway to Employment Center at Cincinnati State Technical and Community College, and Jason Ashbrook, Director of One Stop Northern Kentucky. And you can join the discussion by calling 513-419-7100. Also, you can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And thanks, everybody, for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Why don't we start around the table. Andrea, tell us about the Pathway to Employment Center. What does it do? What does it offer?
Absolutely. Well, the Pathway to Employment Center is funded through a Department of Labor grant that the college received around 2 years ago. And essentially, we're a one-stop career planning and placement center that looks to serve dislocated, trade-impacted, veteran, and unemployed individuals in our region who are looking for some job training at Cincinnati State and are looking for employment opportunities. We are co-located at Superjobs, so we're really accessible to the community at need.
Janice.
Partners for a Competitive Workforce is a partnership of over 150 different organizations in our tri-state region that's all focused on providing career pathways for individuals who want to get into some of our targeted sectors to meet some of the employment needs of our employers in the region.
And Jason, tell us about One Stop Northern Kentucky.
One Stop Northern Kentucky, now called the Kentucky Career Center, is really essentially a service available for businesses and job seekers. Our goal is to help connect businesses with qualified workers and help connect job seekers with career-oriented employment. And we do that through our six centers that are located throughout Northern Kentucky.
Now, is each of you seeing an increasing need for the services that you offer?
We are at Northern Kentucky. We are seeing a need. However, we're also noticing a little bit of a trend. A few years ago, I think our statistics that we were seeing in our local offices were, an increase of job seekers coming into our centers. Now we're seeing an increase of businesses that are really requesting qualified workers, and sometimes they're expressing, in some cases, a skills gap for those workers. So really, it's an interesting trend that we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of job seekers that are having survival jobs right now just to get them by. Maybe they have a lot of experience and skill sets already, but they're looking for kind of that long-term career. But while they're looking for that career, they're working in something that may be a part-time situation or something that, again, is that survival job.
That skills gap is exactly what Partners is working towards. We did some studies over the last year or so that indicated that over 90% of the jobs that are available require some kind of training or certificate or degree program after high school, but less than half of the individuals in our community have any training after high school, and there's the skills gap. And so we're trying to develop these career pathways to help individuals get that skills, the skills that they need to be able to go after those jobs.
One of the things we do at the PTEC Center, Pathway to Employment Center, is we start with an entry credential for our individuals. It's called a National Career Readiness Certificate, and that's a free credential for individuals in the community. And essentially, it's an evidence-based portable credential that certifies essential workplace competencies. So we really look for that to be the start for the individuals we work with and then build that pathway that Janice talked about.
Jason, you were talking about the fact that you're seeing a change in what you're seeing, that now it's more businesses who are looking for skilled people. Are we starting to see the jobs market turn around? Is that an indication that things are starting to change and that they're going to get better for job seekers?
I think it could be an indicator of that. I also think that, as Janice and I alluded to, it could be a reflection of the skills gap that we're seeing as well from employers. For example, in Northern Kentucky, we currently have over 600 advanced manufacturing jobs that are open right now that are not being filled because most of those positions require a specific skill set that many job seekers do not have right now. And so that's one example of a potential skills gap, that a situation that we have here in our region. And again, that was just an example of one particular sector in specific to Northern Kentucky. And I'm sure Janice can talk with her experience as well with the other areas.
Right. The 600 jobs in Northern Kentucky in manufacturing, that scales up to over 15,000 to 16,000 jobs in manufacturing in our entire region when you look out to the year 2020. So in manufacturing in particular, there's a huge opportunity for individuals to get those careers. But everybody thinks of manufacturing as being the old dead end, yeah, dark and dangerous job. Yeah. It's not that anymore.
That's
and
right.
A lot of people don't understand that. And by getting enrolled in some of the training programs that each of the agencies that participate in this effort, they really start to understand what those skills are, and they need to get that training to be able to be qualified for those jobs.
This past year, Cincinnati State launched a Get Skills Right program with veterans that is looking at those manufacturing positions. We partner with General Electric, and we're looking to serve vets who are returning home, providing them a four-week certification, kind of that entry-level manufacturing certification, along with their National Career Readiness Certificate, and job placement at companies like General Electric.
Do any employers offer a non-paid training to people who'd like to learn those skills, maybe with the possibility of being hired later?
Sure. At Cincinnati State, we've had really rich co-op opportunities. We have over 600 companies that work to place co-op students. Those students work anywhere from 20 to 40 hours a week, and we really think that's the next step to reach employment once they finish their program of study at the college.
The other thing that's happening is employers are telling us, particularly in our industries of construction, manufacturing, and IT, that students in high school and middle school aren't even considering these careers. And so not only do we have a skills gap, but we have an empty pipeline. So there's a lot of interest on the part of the employers to provide career exploration experiences for the students while they're in the school system so that they have a better understanding of what the skills are, they understand what those careers are, and get excited about those careers and seek the additional training that they need.
I think that's a great point, Janice, because we see a lot of a perception issue. And again, going back, not to harbor too much on the advanced manufacturing sector, but in that particular industry, we seem to have that perception stigma or misunderstanding or misconception about that particular sector, that it's dirty and it's something that your grandfather would do or grew up doing. And so as a result, a lot of the kids that are coming out of high school and thinking about what they want to do when they grow up, a lot of them aren't thinking, well, man, I want to be in manufacturing when I'm older or as a lifelong career, because really they don't have the education about the sector, the modern manufacturing sector as we see it today. And one of the things that we're doing in our Kentucky Career Center locations is we have looked at our career coaches that work in all of our sites and looked at how we can recraft them. And so right now those career coaches are wearing dual functions where they're not only working with the individual job seekers but also the businesses, so that the ideal situation is that those career coaches, as they have those relationships with businesses, can easily connect those job seekers to the appropriate business and ideally a career opportunity.
A career coaching, that sounds like a great idea. We need more of that, it sounds like to me. So
we have several career coaches down at our center that work with individuals, and they utilize the fit and talent assessments to really do that initial career exploration. We've really looked at a nice retention rate in first year data of about 88% for individuals who step through that process. So we think that career exploration is really important on the front end when people are making decisions about their career.
And when we think about the formal school system, the K-12 system, we also need to provide professional development experiences for the teachers so that they can become job coaches or career coaches for their students. And so they can answer that question of, when am I ever going to use this math again? They can explain it in real terms.
How important is it for job seekers to do the basic things? I mean, to know the basic skills, to get their name out there, to network. It seems like sometimes people forget the fundamentals, and that's where things go wrong.
Well, it's critical, and I think a lot of it, though, hinges upon the individual. You know, you could have two individuals that were laid off from the same company at the same time but are having a different experience or maybe even a different mental experience, you know. And so I always tell the job seekers we're working with, don't let anyone tell you that they know how you feel, because no one really does. And your spouses, all your friends and family, they may tell you just, well, why don't you just get a job? Well, it's not that easy. In this market, it's so competitive that you have to make yourself as a job seeker stand out in a positive way to the potential employers, that really you think of yourself as a product. And how do you market a product? And really you use your resume as your chief marketing tool, but it just starts there and then it kind of builds from that point.
The family supports that Jason talked about are also very important. Some of the training programs that individuals need to get into can be something like an apprenticeship program, where it can be employer-funded, which is great because a person's working, they're earning wages. The employer then is paying for their formal education. But they're going to work all day, and then they're going to go to class at night. And so this is a big time commitment for an individual to get the training that they need, which is going to affect their family life. And being able to have the proper child care assistance and transportation to enable them to have that kind of commitment to that training is very critical to the success of people.
Jason mentioned advanced manufacturing. What are some of the other jobs? From your standpoint, Andrea, what are some of the jobs that are in demand?
Sure. Healthcare has been an in-demand pathway for the past decade. So we have a lot of individuals who focus on the healthcare in our area. Starting with that entry level, maybe that state-tested nurse certificate that can take 2 weeks, and then they can advance into a one-year certificate to be an LPN, licensed professional nurse. So we really just kind of look at that sort of certificate pathway for our healthcare individuals, partnering with all the regional hospitals in the city.
Job data in our region indicates that there's primarily four industry sectors where that have the bulk of the jobs: healthcare, as Andrea mentioned, construction, advanced manufacturing, and IT. Another area that we're considering adding a career pathway effort is in the finance and insurance area, and so we're in the process of vetting that. But between those first four industry sectors, that's where the bulk of the jobs are, and these are good jobs. These are jobs that pay a good entry-level wage and offer upward mobility.
And oftentimes when that incumbent worker can get into an entry-level position, as they indicated, their employer a lot of times will pick up that tuition cost. So we really want to get that individual into that employment setting, even if it's an entry-level position, because they can take advantage of those tuition dollars that are available.
Are you seeing more people shifting gears, getting retrained, going for a different job than what they had? Is that common, more common since the recession?
I believe it is. I think we use the term a lot of times, how to reinvent yourself after a job loss. And a lot of we're seeing really an increase in certain segments of populations, and including veterans, but also job seekers who are 55 and older. We're seeing a lot of those individuals that are looking to reinvent themselves and at what they would consider to be a later time in their life. And so as a result, they're pursuing training opportunities that may not directly relate to their previous experience. And so it's they're thinking about new ways and new types of careers that maybe they didn't consider before. But really, it all goes back to what Janice was just alluding to, is what's in high demand for our particular region. That's really what all three of our entities are really focusing on to promote, so that we can plug those job seekers into the appropriate training programs to ultimately meet the needs of employers and, of course, impact our region in a positive way.
How does Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, how do the areas seem to do it in terms of the job market? My perception has always been that they do a little bit better than the nation as a whole. Is the situation better here?
Yeah, the situation is a bit better here in that our region is growing faster than many other peer regions, cities of similar size across the country. And frankly, manufacturing is really helping to accelerate the pace of the recovery from the recession. So our region is doing better.
I would echo that sentiment. I know for Northern Kentucky, we have Boone County is a part of our region. It is the fastest growing county it's the fastest growing county in the state of Kentucky. So for us too, again, manufacturing, and I know that this wasn't supposed to be the main topic of our discussion today, but really manufacturing is driving a lot of that growth.
I'm rather surprised by that, because I always thought we were more of a becoming more of a service oriented economy as opposed to a manufacturing economy. Is that just because Cincinnati's different, or is that a national trend that manufacturing is doing that well?
I think it's a bit of a national trend in that, and of course it varies from region to region, but as the auto industry is rebounding and all of the supply chain that's associated with serving the auto industry, that's really starting to fuel the recovery of manufacturing.
It might be, too, that over the past few years, we've seen kind of almost a campaign of made in the USA, you know, getting back to producing things at home. And you're hearing of larger companies relocating call centers that were offshore back home here in the States. So I think a lot of that has to do with it. And then the state of Ohio and Kentucky, I know, have offered some very generous incentives for companies to relocate to our region and really provide some job opportunities. And that may – all of those factors could play into it as well for us.
I think something we all do really well is we listen to the employers and we develop training to meet their needs.
Yeah.
And that's very essential. That's what we do at the college. That's what we do at our workforce development center. So if you tell me you need a training in 30 days to do this, we want to meet that demand for you. So we really listen to what the employers say in our region and what they need.
And, you know, to tag onto that, we try to listen to each other, too. I think we really make a concerted effort to reach out across not only the aisle but the river to each other and make sure we're communicating and collaborating at every opportunity. So I think for us, that may be something that's fairly unique to our region as well, the level of collaboration and really support that we provide to each other.
We're starting to see a lot more energy to merge economic development with workforce development because workforce is such a critical asset to attracting new businesses to the region and growing the businesses that we have. And that kind of regional collaboration is critical for that.
If you've been looking for a job or you're an employer having a hard time finding people, give us a call and talk to us about your situation. Ask some questions. 513-419-7100 is the phone number to call. And, you know, it seems like unemployment it remains a nagging problem despite our efforts. It sounds like it, from your standpoint, it's a supply and demand issue. As employers come to you saying we need people, then you can respond.
Yeah, absolutely. We not only look at certainly the unemployed and the dislocated worker, but we really look to serve that incumbent healthcare worker who's in that entry-level position or entry-level position in manufacturing, and really how to keep that employee at the position where they're at in their company and so they're not jumping companies and other things. So that's been pretty critical for what we're doing.
That's one effort that we've been doing in the construction industry as well. Construction got particularly hard hit during the recession, yep. So there weren't very many entry-level positions. But there were still a lot of people in the construction industry that were at risk of leaving. And so we've taken a concept that the healthcare collaborative was using around job coaching and career coaching to help boost retention and have applied that across to construction and have gotten great results where we're able to retain those employees and the investment that the employers have made to keep those people employed.
We'll continue our conversation about employment and training services after the break in about 15 minutes and focus on technology. Ann Thompson reports on a new type of chemistry for preventing corrosion. You can join the discussion at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.